in a year. But, I mean, it's just the greed involved in ruining or severely damaging kids' lives for money is just unfathomable to me. I can't imagine it being, having been a parent and had my kids tossed in jail for something incredibly stupid that no one else around me can understand why they wound up in jail for. And then to discover that, hey, I was right. My kids shouldn't have been in jail. And this asshole stole my kid from me for 3 months, stole 3 months or more of my kid's life to make a few bucks. Man, I don't know what I would do. I would go absolutely nuts. They let me within 6 feet of that judge. My hands would be around his frickin' neck. Anyway, as you can tell, I feel somewhat strongly about this. I have two teenage stepdaughters, and I could just see them doing something mildly stupid that they just thought was funny, or one of their friends doing something stupid and dragging them into it. And, you know, one of them up in court over something trivial, and, you know, just a thought that, like, some judge would just, like, deliberately kidnap them for profit. Oh, man, it just makes my blood boil. Anyway, I'm going to play some more music. Our guest is going to be on in about 20 minutes. He's going to call in. If anybody else wants to call in before that and comment on the music, on what's happening in the local community, anything I've cared to rant about, you can call in at 831-427-3772. That's the Freak Radio call-in number. You can also leave a message at 427-4523. Not for me, since I don't really check it, but for the Free Radio Collective. And I suppose if you left a message for me there, news of it might eventually get back to me. At some point, you're also welcome, not while I'm in studio, please. Call me at 831-295-391.
And that was apparently a replay of the wake-up call by Thomas Levitt from last Sunday, and I want to convey Uncle Dennis's and the apologies of others in the Free Radio Collective for not airing, and I believe I have this right, Informa Pacifica. I probably have the name wrong. Nuestra culpa, disculpenos, forgive us, we are... a struggling estación de radio muy pobre y a veces no estamos muy inteligentes. Entonces, qué lástima. O sea, posiblemente en la semana que viene este programa will be played for all of you who speak a little Spanish and a little English as I do. Sometimes as little English as possible. Coming up next, it's Bathrobs Pierre's Broadsides, the February 26, 2009 edition. Stay tuned. We're going to do a lot of interviews from the street, and who knows, maybe some interviews with you if you call in at 427-3772.
Beside an unused union hall and an abandoned factory, by the Allegheny River, in another Rust Belt city, you can see the well-dressed families on Memorial Day, reading the names on the walls of all those who went away, who went on a ship, came back in a bag, packed into a coffin. line. And when I reached the end, a chill ran down my spine. Four blank space, the battlefields yet unknown, that soon some will call their own. A wordless message in a frame. Slates. For the dice that aren't yet tossed, for the lives that aren't yet lost, for a war without a name. What will be written on that stone? Will it be on Persian soil? Will they say it was for freedom or for Venezuelan oil? The only thing that's certain is it will be across the sea. And the new names on that rock will have died in someone else's country. Four blank slates for battlefields yet unknown, that soon some will call their own. A wordless message in a frame. For the dice that aren't yet tossed, for the lies that aren't yet lost, for a war without a name. How many other nations are already planning their next war? How many people know it'll be on someone else's shore? Will there come a time when all good people are enraged to see a slate awaiting a war that's not yet waged? Four blank slates for battlefields yet unknown, that soon some will call their own. A wordless message in a frame. Four blank slates. For the dice that aren't yet tossed, for the lives that aren't yet lost, for a war without a name. For a war without a name.
And that was David Robix from the Halliburton Boardroom Massacre album. And I think the name of that particular one was Four Blank Slates. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert North. The name of the show is Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides. Forgive me as I adjust the voice levels here. Call-in number is 427-3772. Actually, just got a caller from a woman who wondered what we're going to be talking about, and I guess we'll all find out in a moment. I talk a lot about civil rights in Santa Cruz. Where are they? As I look around on the streets, look around at the city council, look around at the downtown commission hearing that happened today, look around wherever I happen to be looking, and try to see what's cooking, how much is being taken away, and how much is left behind, how much we have yet to regain. And I'm particularly concerned with homeless civil rights, or the rights of people who are of necessity mostly, sometimes by choice, but usually of necessity, outside with no place to live. And that covers a lot of people. I've estimated 1,500 to 2,000, the latest downgraded estimate of the Santa Cruz City Council's homeless action partnership, as the poverty pimps call themselves these days, is I think 1,300. But everybody agrees at least 70% of homeless people have no emergency shelter whatsoever at night, and yet they're still subject to an increasingly lethal network of laws, certainly intrusive and lethal in a certain sense to the human spirit, and in another sense to the right to form communities and engage in normal human dialogue, communication, interactions with other people, called the downtown ordinances, and such things as the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban, which criminalizes sleeping after 11 o'clock at night in any structure that is not a house or hotel, and on much private property and on all, I underline, all public property in Santa Cruz, with no exceptions. So people who don't have a place to go are illegal, and that means hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people every night are at danger of a $97 sleeping ticket. And thanks to Mayor Matthews' new law passed by the city council, three of these infractions, if you can't afford to pay them off or pay the fees for community service off, will put you in jail for up to 6 months and land you a $1,000 fine. So we have criminalization of the poor continuing to happen in Santa Cruz. Nothing new, but in case you just tuned in on this station and have never heard that before, well, you just heard it now. And it's one of the concerns I have, major concern I've been at least raising for 20 years. 22 years, actually. Actually, it's been longer than that. More like 30 years if you count earlier days from the 70s when the sleeping ban actually went into effect. And I wasn't actually talking about it directly, but it was impacting a lot of people I knew, and I was aware of the way homeless people, then called undesirable transient elements, or utes, were treated by both the city and by the county authorities. So, have you had problems yourself being treated as a second-class citizen? Or perhaps friends you have had that experience. Perhaps not. Perhaps you think homeless people have it too easy here in Santa Cruz. Obviously, I don't agree with you, but this is a station for all points of view, at least on this subject, when I'm on the air. So feel free to call in and talk, 427-3772. And while I'm waiting for that flood of calls to come in, and often I get no calls, but I at least can play some voices from the street, people I've spoken to in the last couple of weeks, I'm going to actually begin with a few street interviews. These are fairly recent street interviews. In fact, I think we're talking about the last week. And let's hear them.
The cat man.
And you indeed have your kitty, a large cat actually. This is for cat people. It's in a cat carrier on top of a bike. Mm-hmm. And how is the kitty, and what is the kitty's name?
That's Baby.
And how is... we haven't seen you for a year and a half. How long has it been?
Well, it's been a long time. I've been with my other cat, Baby, for quite a while because Yukai wanted $650 to get her back after being gone for 60 days.
Wow.
So I didn't have the money, so I had to give up for a year. And then Rasta Timmy was moving into a house and they had one too many cats, so he gave me her right before Christmas. I took her to Union Square and made $1,000 within a week.
Say that again?
Made $1,000 within a week.
Oh, because of the affection that people have for cats?
Yeah.
You exploiter, you. This poor putty is being exploited.
My putty eats from scomas.
There you go. Again, we've been talking with...
the Catman.
Thank you, Catman. And we approach Drumland here.
Before we do, and this is actually this from last Wednesday, I guess that would be yesterday, Catman is a guy who has his cat, his kitty, I think it's only been one, maybe it was two at one time, on a bicycle, on a bicycle trailer, and he is much beloved by many who donate to him and to his cat. It's a form of begging, yes. It's a form of panhandling, yes. It's a form of perhaps visible entertainment, yes, or lack of entertainment, just feeling that people can support someone who's poor directly rather than send the money to a bunch of middle-class bureaucrats and hope it gets through the Obamanomics of the day or the Bushonomics or the Clintonomics, whatever we got now that's destroying the economy and isn't going to stop until we hit bottom, which is going to be a while off, I think. In any case, more interviews. This is a Wednesday, and we're going to be now looking in on the drum circle, which is probably self-explanatory, and if it's not, I'll be explaining it.
Right near the New Leaf Market, where there's some folks kind of hanging out and drumming away. Interesting event. Patrick, and of course the infamous Troy. It's Drum City. Here's a guitar player, and there are some local folks. So how's it going here, you guys? JB?
Quite well. Trying to get in with music before it starts raining.
Yeah, it is beginning to drip, isn't it? There is hot soup. You know about that?
No.
We have hot soup half a block down. Listening to a guitarist. Your name, Adam?
And actually, correction, this is not the Wednesday drum circle. This is it's a cop watch we did, and I believe this was on the 21st of February. So looks like it was, gosh, on Monday or Tuesday thereabouts that we did this cop watch, maybe on Sunday. I need a calendar. But we did it earlier this week, in any case.
My name's Jenny Wren.
We're in front of the Del Mar Theater. What are you going to be playing for us tonight?
I will be playing a couple of originals. This one's called What's It Worth.
Hit it.
Singing songs of sweetness and welcoming the spring, breathing in the breezes and sitting on a swing.
A brief snatch of song. I'm talking to
Sean.
And on your back is
Israel.
And you're carrying a very large skateboard. It looks like this.
I'm actually trying to sell it because we need gas money.
Where are you coming from and going to?
We just came down today from Mount Shasta.
Uh-huh.
And we're on our way to San Luis Obispo.
So you're.
But we ran out of gas.
Ran out of gas passing through, but at least you got some soup.
There you go. Warm soup is just great.
How are the police treating you?
We haven't talked to any of them, so we don't know. I mean, obviously, they're treating us great.
And how is the baby treating you?
The baby was great coming down here. Didn't cry once.
But very good.
Hours in the car, didn't cry.
Excellent. Let me leave the two of you and the soup here.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for the soup. It's brilliant, and praise the Lord.
And the soup maker.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
And actually, I received a call from Vision Song Valerie, who was doing some strumming, I believe, on that Saturday, or perhaps not, but she remembers the date, and that was Saturday Cop Watch, which this stuff is from. I'm not actually sitting there with the camera watching the police, as most cop watches actually do, but we set up a table every week or so on the avenue. We do have video camera and an audio machine, as well as petitions, and we attempt to interview people about what's cooking, get people to sign up to volunteer to observe more closely what's going on downtown with respect to how the police are treating the community around these ordinances that criminalize poor people and just generally on the streets. In the process of this, Jumbo Gumbo Joe Schultz, once of India Joe's restaurant, for those of you who are old-timers, now a caterer who may actually be working on a new restaurant, as I understand it, rumor has it. He provides food to us to pass on to poor people who are cold and hungry, and actually anybody walking by gets a free slurp of his tasty vegan soup. And that's what was referred to by the dad with the babe on his back coming from Shasta to San Luis Obispo.
We're talking to that man about both philosophy and the sidewalks.
Hi, my name's Colin Campbell Clyde, and I went to that city council.
Let's slow this tape down.
Hi, my name's Colin Campbell Clyde, and a city council meeting, what was it, about a month ago, all the business owners came out and said that they think the problem with the downtown economy is that the bums are scaring people away. And there's this whole phenomenon where people are, like, writing the letters to the editor and everything. So what I said to the city council is I think that that middle-class people that are doing this are afraid of the homeless because they're afraid of what's going on with the economic collapse. And the homeless are uncomfortable reminder of that fact. And I also think there's like a cultural phenomenon going on with class privilege that, you know, just has to do with the whole history of this country. So some little tricky things that went on. I noticed Cynthia Matthews said...
Our mayor.
The mayor said, said this isn't about homeless people, is what she said. This is about the public not feeling safe because there's a problem area.
Hot soup, come and get it.
And for those who don't know or just tuned in, who haven't been listening to this kind of discussion, which we've had endlessly for the last month or two, the city council passed an expansion of the so-called downtown ordinances, which criminalize a lot of innocent behavior with the alleged or actually the ostensible intention of getting rid of bad behavior. The innocent behavior that's criminalized is sitting. You can't sit on virtually any part of the sidewalk if it's 14 feet from almost anything. And so that means on all business sidewalks, except for the Pacific Avenue sidewalk, there's no sitting except at benches, many of which have been removed. And this has been expanded under the new downtown ordinance. You also can't set up a political table or have an open guitar case for which you're receiving, where people are encouraged to put money for a performance within 10 feet anywhere along, which also rules out all sidewalks except Pacific Avenue and most of Pacific Avenue too. And similarly with panhandling, even peaceful panhandling, and finally also, let's see, street performing, panhandling, tabling, and sitting. Yeah, that's it. So all this has been heavily restricted, and really it's essentially kind of a green light to the police to get rid of those undesirable people using whatever means you can. And by bad behavior, it's hard to believe that the merchants consider sitting down next to a building as an act of violence. It just isn't. Or sitting out there with a cup silently, even at 9 o'clock at night, as an act of violence. It just isn't. Or having a political table for an hour and a half in a certain spot in front of a store as a threat to the personal safety of people. It's not. Yet these were the absurd claims that were made and helped to pass this law. And then these laws, the whole series of laws, originally passed in 1994 as a series essentially almost ostensibly anti-homeless laws, broadened in 2002, and then broadened again about a week ago. I guess it was 2 weeks ago at the city council meeting in the first one in February when it passed its final reading. The laws are in effect now, and they get worse in March. But the real reality is the police selectively enforce these laws in order to deal with problems as they're seen from the eyes of some merchants and conservative residents, and as the police themselves see the problems. So one's constitutional rights become the plaything of the police department and the downtown association, which, of course, is not the kind of community I want to be in. And that's why I'm out there trying to change it. And I hope you are, too. Let's hear some more interviews from Saturday the 21st.
And I thought that was an interesting little linguistic construction, because sort of what she's doing there is she's saying there's an implicit assumption that when she's talking about the public, she's talking about people who have a lot of money to spend in restaurants and stores, and that everybody else is categorized under the problem area. So it's kind of a, in philosophy, they talk a lot about the idea of the other, okay, is like the other is that which is not like us. And people form their idea of like group identity around that, actually, because normal is like the concept of normal is whatever's left after we've defined what all the abnormal things are. Okay? And So I thought that was an interesting thing. Also, they slipped this thing by about the downtown art and how you're not allowed to like climb all over it and stuff. Okay,
sit within 14 feet of it,
or sit within 14 feet of it, and so there's all these like
a political table within 10 feet of it.
14 foot radius circles all over the pavement downtown where people are technically no longer allowed to legally exist.
Well, you can stand.
You could, well,
bring your own chair.
Okay.
It's legal to sit if you have your own chair.
It's legal to sit if you, well, we should just start bringing more chairs.
Carry your own chair. You could be the chairman downtown.
There could be, you know, the whole downtown could be like couches and stuff. Wouldn't that be like more
comfy
aesthetic to lounging, you know?
Be comfy.
It would be very comfy. There'd just be a couch to sit down. And, oh, I really like Don Lane for bringing up the thing about how they're like, oh, well, you can only be on the bench for an hour. But what they're not telling you is they took away more than half of the benches downtown. And they're all in some warehouse somewhere collecting dust right now. And really all it needs to happen, it wouldn't really cost the city very much money at all to do it, just the price of labor, is like all the benches be brought back out.
Well, that's
and
what they're going to do now that it's illegal
in,
to be within 10 or now that it's illegal to be within 10 or 14 feet of a bench, you can bet those benches will be reappearing.
So. Well, it's illegal to be on the bench for more than an hour.
And it's illegal to sit within 10 or 14 feet of a bench.
Oh, you can't sit near a bench.
No, not anymore.
Okay. Okay, so this is like
Obama-nomics.
These are like people who have a very George Bush kind of mentality, and they want to be hip and everything and live in the new Barack Obama world and stuff, but they still have all these ideas that are left over from like just a wave of conservatism that this country has been going through since Reagan. And you know, and it's all about, you know, these piddly little things about like tell people they can't be here and do this, and trying to use incarceration as some kind of like economic engine, and the town's going broke over it. I mean, the police get more of the city budget than any other entity. Okay, if you don't count the fire department, the police get as much of the general plan as like everything else combined. Just to, I mean, you know, more or less. I'm standing here right now next to somebody that I mentioned, like the art sculptures. This guy got a ticket for pushing the pendulum.
Infamous PP man, pendulum pusher.
Pendulum
We're not
pusher.
Far from that pendulum sculpture, which is outside Rosie McCann's and the Pacific Trading Company.
No, I can see it from here.
You considered going down there and committing that crime again just to show us the kind of recidivist that you are?
No, I don't want another ticket.
Nah, that's for sure. I'd have to arrest you myself.
I'll tell you what. I push the pendulum every day, and so far I haven't gotten any kind of like,
officer over here. We have a confession. Go ahead.
Attention from the police board. But I'll continue to push the pendulum every day, and maybe someday. Although it's very unlikely because I'm like ninja. But maybe someday like a cop will actually see me do it and give me a ticket for it, and I hope they do, because I'd like to take that to court and you know, make it a political case about like how absurd this is that this is our
it's a time, place, and manner
policy.
Appropriate regulation.
Policy, right.
It's in order to protect the sculpture. When is your next court date?
On Monday.
And is that when you're having your arraignment?
That's when I'm doing whatever there.
Disqualify referee Basket and have it transferred to another court.
I was thought about that. Yeah.
My suggestion.
Referee Basket.
Basket, the one in the basement, you don't want her.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, say that again, sir.
So, in today's modern standards, this is Lather again, we pay to have our homes, but yet we slave for our masters every day.
Actually,
so we pay for our sleep, and we slave for our masters.
What you're saying is you pay to return to the stables every night, for which you also pay.
Yes, so yes, that was my quote a minute ago, is that we slave for our masters every day to pay for our stables every night.
Nicely put. Which you also pay for.
So it's about 1:20. We're downtown on February 22nd, in back of Planned Parenthood, next to parking lot number 4, in the rain, or right out of the rain on a rainy Sunday, talking with
Lawrence McGregor.
And Lawrence, you just got back from the hospital where you had kidney stones removed, eh?
Yes, sir.
How did the operation go?
I didn't have an operation. They just let me how do you pronounce it? Yeah, but let it.
You let them pass?
Yeah, I had to let it come out naturally.
Painful, huh?
Yeah, and I'm still in pain.
How long did that whole... Should we talk to you now? Is it okay to talk to you now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You mentioned that there's been a new development over at the Red Church across the street, also across the street from the Nickelodeon.
Yes, sir.
What happened there?
The pastor from the church, I went to church and had the church for Sunday church. And when I went out, he told me to leave the property. If I don't, he would call the police.
And was this different from what happened in the past?
No, it was worse. It was like his attitude changed different. He hired first alarm people, cops, to come over and harass people.
And this happened, you were at a church service?
Yes, sir.
And how long was that? How long was that service?
About an hour and a half of church.
And did you go to the service because it's something you have a religious belief in, or is it because something that, you know, is followed by a meal, or because it gets out of the rain, or what's the deal?
It gets out of the rain, and I like listening to the service. It's very, very beautiful, but they just need to learn how to treat the homeless better.
Yes. So, I've noticed people standing by the side of the red church before, sort of hanging out. Hi. Good. Thank you. You know, kind of congregating there, sitting in the grass, sometimes playing music, sometimes hanging around. But it was raining today, and you say you can't. You've been to previous church services?
About a month.
What usually happened in the past after you come out of a church service?
I go and have coffee, eat a little bit, talk to other people from the church. But today, they won't let me do it.
I mean, normally you would have coffee. Where would you have coffee?
Inside the church, the red church.
And why did they, were you the only one so told you couldn't stay in the church, or were other people also told?
It was me and him. I don't remember that, his name.
What is your name, sir? The drummer man, if you got some drumsticks.
Well, it's not Thursday, so you can't call me that. Robert. That's my given name, really.
You are Robert. Okay, so.
You are Robert.
I am Robert. You are.
Well, they call me Paul, but Thursday's is that.
We'll call you Paul. So
today's not Thursday.
What was the reason that the pastor gave, or that you believe, what you were told you couldn't have coffee at the church today?
He just had an attitude. He just didn't like me, how I was dressed, or...
You're wearing... How would you describe your outfit?
How can I describe this?
Homebum.
I'm a homebum. I now dress like a homebum because I have no clothes.
You have kind of white... long johns and shorts. Say it again.
A knee brace
from.
Boy.
And you also have a blue Air Force cap, and you have a dirty, multicolored orange and blue coat.
Yes, sir.
So, is this different from your dress on previous Sundays?
Yes, the other Sundays I had clothes, and now I don't have clothes. I'm wearing what I can, and they won't let me stay in.
So were there other homeless people who were also thrown out other than you and Paul, or just the two of you?
Just me and him.
Were there other people, homeless people, who were there who weren't thrown out?
No, sir.
So you were the only two really appreciating the sermons and getting the boot.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. It was the two of us. Kicked the bumper. That is true.
So here you are, and the first thing you said to me when I came up here is that it's cold, right?
Yes, sir. It's very cold.
And you're still in pain from the kidney operation.
Yes.
Did you tell the pastor you'd had a kidney operation recently?
Yes, I did.
What was his response?
He didn't care.
Who was this guy? Do you know his name?
No. Do you know the pastor's name?
I'd rather not say.
I do know. Come on.
I would rather not say. You can say, but
I don't know his name.
Know. I mean, you don't have to say.
I don't know the name of the red shirt.
What does it look like?
He's tall, a mustache, a little bit of a beard.
I mean, did he claim you guys had some prior problem there?
No, sir. He just got in the attitude, and I thought he just went into I didn't want to even say. He's acting like an asshole to us.
Yeah, look, now I have.
And I don't know what to do.
Was your friend Paul acting up in an exaggerated manner as he's doing now?
Yes.
So that might have been the reason.
Yeah.
There you have it. Honesty at the end of an interview. We've been talking with...
Lawrence McGregor.
And, of course, the infamous...
Larry.
I thought it was Paul, but Larry apparently it is. Anybody, any comments from any of you guys?
Yeah, my friend Jesse got arrested not...
And before we go any further, the point here is not to make a polemic about how bad the church is or how faultless homeless people are. It's in a way to show you who listen to the show regularly and who hear these interviews that I'm not attempting to falsify any facts. What appeared to be initially discriminatory behavior without any reason by the pastor of the Red Church now appears at the end of the interview. Again, I'm not sure because we didn't really take it much further than this, to be action based upon perhaps untoward behavior by one of the two guys here who were roosting out of the rain. So I think, you know, it's important for us to be candid, to admit hard facts when they happen, and not to conceal them. I mean, somebody else might say to me, yeah, this is all very true, but what about the overall reality of homeless people suffering constant, repeated, and institutionalized discrimination in Santa Cruz, which they do? And I say, yes, that is true, and I play a lot of interviews that show that. But I also want to show that, you know, sometimes people are prone to exaggerate or to mention facts that then later come out to not have covered the entire story. We have a caller. Hey there, caller. You're on free radio, or you were, at least, until you hung up. Tell you what, I'm going to I'll play a little more interviewing. If you want to call me back off air, you can call 469-3119. 469-3119. I'll answer the phone. You can talk to me, or you can leave me a message. And this is true for anyone listening. On the Huff line, Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is appropriately enough at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. So give me a call there and tell me what's cooking, and I will call you back at some point, probably a couple hours down the road or tomorrow. Either that or call me at the station, 469-3119, or 427-3772 if you actually want to go on the air.
I don't even know. Like I
they didn't tell him what he got arrested for. They just pulled up, looked at his hands, and arrested him.
Thank you.
Yeah. Your name is?
What?
An anonymous person again.
And you are?
Yeah, I'm Doug.
Any other reports from the street? And
not really.
Nothing I can think of at the moment.
Has been leaving me alone pretty much, which has been really good. Normally they bug me, but they haven't lately, so...
I saw two guys get arrested for open containers on their birthdays.
Yeah. Oh, sort of a birthday gift.
Yeah. They were downtown drinking a beer. They each had a beer in their hand.
On their birthday, how old was he? 10 and 11 or what?
They were like 25 or 30, and they were talking to us, and they were a little bit tipsy, but not so drunk that they couldn't function. And they were downtown walking with beers, and I believe it was Forbes and Winston walked up and stopped them both and said, whoa, 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 hey, stop, you guys have to stop.
This is a good thing.
And they both got open containers on their birthday.
Tickets, but not arrests.
I don't know if they were arrested or not.
Thank you, Anonymous.
No problem.
All right. Okay, well, it's February 23rd, I believe, Monday the 23rd, or thereabouts. Maybe it's the 24th, but it's a Monday, and we're talking to...
Bill.
And, Bill, you're...
I'm handicapped, and I go downtown, and these guys have been bothering me. I went to a restaurant, Acapulco. I was there for, like, I drank four beers at Acapulco. I went out there, and the same cop busted me for drunk in public. How can you get drunk off four beers?
And what was the officer's name?
Daryl? Not Daryl.
There are a couple officers downtown.
Yeah, there's a blonde guy. He's young. He's fresh. I mean, you know, everyone else likes me. Officer Albert likes me. Officer Klein likes me. All the cops like me downtown.
Officer Corbis, Officer Winston.
There's like two cops downtown. They're the ones that, you know, bother me. And then I call the sergeant on duty because he's the, you know, like, you know, the boss. You know,
sergeant's name was?
Was, I don't even know his name, too.
Bush? Sergeant Flippo?
Not Bush. I talked to Bush.
Yeah.
I talked to Bush, and Bush says, I'll talk to you. He was on duty. I talked to a different sergeant.
So
then he talked. Then what happened was he wrote me a ticket, and then he goes, Gabriel, you know, you get the wrong way, you know. The reason why I said.
Say, it's on tape. Go ahead. So he said, you go back.
Okay, he goes, you go back. And you know, everybody walks from...
Go back, meaning go back into the restaurant?
No, or? No, no. Crossing from Starbucks to the roasting company.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody walks.
Right, that's not jaywalking. That is actually crossing legally, provided you're not blocking a car. You know.
Well, I'm not. You know, and the guy gave me a ticket, but this is...
Show me the ticket. You're pulling out a ticket out of your pocket here. And we're taking a look at this and seeing what the story is. It's about 4 o'clock on Monday.
Is there anything on there?
A ticket to you, 219, at 3:10 in the afternoon for...
Jaywalking.
10.36020, whatever that may be. I assume it's...
Can you
read that? I can't read
that. He's sending a ticket.
So this is for jaywalking, then, supposedly.
Yeah, he did that on purpose. He's not going to read it. That's what he did it for.
He did write the code section, which is the same thing, if you write the code section. But it's strange. Does this cop know you, and does he seem to be particularly interested in you?
No, he didn't know me. I mean, he picks on me because, you know, I don't know. For some reason, he picked me out of the crowd for, like, a month. He's been harassing me for a month.
So in a certain sense, he's given you multiple tickets for different things?
No, he just harasses me. He goes, hey, Gabriel, you know, I go, what's officer? Because I know David Albert. I think you know him too. David Albert.
Sure.
Does he work today? He goes, Gabriel, I gave you his schedule. And he just, you know, like I'm dumb. He didn't give me a schedule at all. He's just like, you know, harassing me. He's going...
Well, you got to get the name of this police officer. Maybe the next time we talk, you can...
I knew it.
Now, the last time this is the last ticket you got, this jaywalking ticket?
Yeah, and I'm going downtown right now. I'm like going... I'm kind of scared.
Really?
Yeah, I'm scared because this guy's going to give me a ticket for, like, looking at him or something like that, you know? I mean, like, you know, everyone else is like, you know, take a picture of their nose and throw cigarette butts on the floor, which is littering. You know, they see me, they go, Gabriel, come here. Come here, you know.
So you get special attention from the police.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what I did.
Here's my card. It's not like it'll help you with anything, but I will put any new adventures you have on the radio, and this will go on the radio on Thursday evening.
Yeah, so, you know, what I'm going to do is, like, I'm going to expose this guy. I got a camera, like they kept the thing. I got a camera. I'm going to videotape this guy. He's harassing, you know, he might be harassing other people, you know.
You know, we do a thing called Cop Watch, which might interest you.
And I've seen you before. That's why I saw you. That's the man I want. It goes, because at my house, I'm going, there's a guy with a beard, gray, you know, all stuff. Goes,
that's me, all right.
That's him. You know, I don't know your name, but I go, that's the guy I want to find, you know. And then it's a miracle. I go right down this way, going towards my spot, this Acapulco. You go in there right now and interview them. They'll tell you that I'm not a, you know, a drunk. I'm not violent. But as soon as I drink, like I eat there, I drink a couple beers, I leave. He goes, hey, Gabriel. You smell like alcohol. Yeah, I drank a couple of beers. He goes, well, you really reek. I go, you know what, dude? I'm not even drunk. He goes, you're going to jail.
Did he take you to jail?
Yeah, I took my cane. He took my cane. And
you have a walker, kind of a walker cane with you.
Yeah, you know, then he took my cane. He guided me like this. He goes like this. He goes, like pushing me to the car like this. Goes, like, sorry. You know, push you to the car. He goes, man, I can't even stand up. Can I have my cane? He goes, no. And I get to the county jail, and the deputy goes, you're not even drunk.
You know the name of the deputy who told you this?
No, I don't know.
In the future, get everybody's name.
I know.
And before you go to jail, say, you know, officer, before you arrest me, let me finish. Before you arrest me, can you have your sergeant come here? And then I'll be happy to go with you. I mean, don't resist arrest, but say, you know, I'd like to speak to this to your sergeant first.
They won't do that.
Well, then document the fact they don't. Say, okay, so
because
I'm
asking for a blood test. Because
they never give you a blood test or breathalyzer test. This is what the police use because they don't have to. And you were released from jail without a charge, right?
Yeah.
That's what they always do. They'll jail you for, not always, but frequently, you know, for 4 or 5 hours, and they'll release you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, I mean, in some cases you might say the officer's using good discretion, but often it's, you know, a personal kind of thing where they're just punishing you, you know?
I live right over the county jail. I live right behind it. Uh-huh. Blaine Street, you know, right there.
Right.
You know, right behind the jail. I live right there.
Right.
And he goes, well, you live right by your house. You know, you just cops come and jump. He goes, hey, man, you know what? I go home. I'm going to have a beer. So what are you going to do, arrest me for having a beer? He goes, Gabriel, you know, and then, first of all, you know, I had my friend with me. He's out there with all the motorcycle guys. He's a Harley Davis guy. And he goes, he didn't even get a ticket. I got a ticket. He didn't get a ticket. And he was shooting his mouth off. He was going, hey, man, Gabriel's not doing anything, man. They're picking on him for no reason. What are you picking on him? He goes, you know what? Shut up. And I go, man, you messing with my friend, dude. This guy's like, this big, man. He's like, you know, he's like a Harley Davidson guy, you know?
And next time you do, when you go home, every time this happens to you, write down the time as much as you can remember what happens. And then you can call the radio show and talk about it, or we can talk about it. It's not going to do a hell of a lot, but more people know about it, the better.
I know a lot of people here, important people. I know people that, you know, work, and they know me. And I come down here, I it's like me. You know, I shop at Longs. I got money. I'm not against the homeless at all. I love the homeless. But see, you know, I shop. I do something here.
How do you think the police are treating homeless people downtown? Do you notice
bad,
any?
Bad. You know, they treat them bad, you
what
know?
Have you say, what have you seen recently that makes you say that?
Well, they, you know, you can't sit somewhere for an hour, you know, and, you know, I know they panhandle, and, you know, I'm not against that. But, you know, when you aggressive panhandle, that's kind of like, you know, going overboard. But
well, they say the police are acting properly then, but you think they're not treating them right. Why do you say that?
Because, you know, they're human beings. They got to eat, you know.
What have you seen that constitutes bad treatment? What bad treatment have you seen?
Well, they go through your wallet and everything. Hey, man, I'm going to go through your wallet. You know, let me go through your pants and stuff like that. That's mistreatment right there. I mean, that's kind of like, you know.
How many times have you seen this happen?
A lot. I live here.
Did you see it happen today or yesterday?
No, not today or yesterday. I was sitting in my room for like 4 days because of the situation.
You're apprehensive about coming downtown.
Yeah, but I'm going to come down. I'm going to, you know.
Fight the fear, man. Fight the fear.
I am. That's what I'm doing. That's why I said I came downtown, you know. It's not the beer talking. I want to go down and have a couple beers, you know. I'm not drunk, you know. They don't want you drinking. Don't sell beer, you know?
Here. Thank you. We've been talking
with you. You know, don't sell beer. Thank you, man. I love you, man.
All right.
God bless you. You're like fucking a gift, man, you know?
I'm the greatest, I admit. Okay, well, it's around 12:30, and we're here in the Yan Flower Inn. We're talking with... What's your name?
Let's see. Right now...
Give us a pseudonym.
I don't really have one.
If you don't want to do it now, it's okay. We can wait.
Anyways, so what happened was this kid came down, right, to the trestle with some paint, hoping like oil-based paint, I guess. House paint? I don't know. Anyways, he was having fun, right? And so I just stuck my hand on it like a little kid because I'm not a graffiti artist. I do art, but not. I don't go vandalizing.
And you have a broken right arm? Fractured, and it's in a cast.
Two places. Anyway, so I had put my hand on the paint, right, and then I put it on the wall. And then the cops saw me, so I got vandalism. They're going to give me a year, strictly. But since I've been here 3 9 years and I have no criminal history or record and I have family, they let me go. But they're definitely...
going to call you White Hand, Mono
Sharpie.
Blanco.
I can't even carry Sharpies anymore.
So when did it all this happen?
4 days ago.
And how long were you in jail?
4 days.
Just right,
thank you. And I forgot my lunch. That's a long story.
And how did the jail treat you?
Like crap.
And again, your name is?
I just asked her yesterday if they strip searched her or not. She told me. Yes, they did.
And so you were strip searched and entering the jail?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But not cavity searched, we hope.
What is that?
Stick a finger up your ass.
Oh, no.
So, but you say it was not good conditions in jail?
No.
What was bad about it?
Well, the way they act like they don't care. They're snooty and snotty, and they think it's a joke. And
how about
know.
The fellow prisoners? How are they?
Well, I didn't talk to them.
Were you in isolation or just keeping to yourself?
The medical part.
That's isolation.
So you were in isolation, or you were by yourself in a single cell for 4 days?
I got like a couple hours out. They let you out like a couple hours of time to watch TV in Spanish when you don't even know it.
And you went to court and you pled guilty? Is that the deal, or you pled?
I had a public defender. If I wouldn't have had a public defender, that would have given me a year.
Who was your public defender?
I can't remember her name. I got her card, though. I got to go see her in a couple of days. I think Angela or something like that. Angela.
And
notice how people are so frightened that they don't really understand their rights. They can't just give you a year. They have to give you a trial. And if it's a misdemeanor where there is a jail sentence that is threatened, you have the right to a jury trial, and you have the right to a public defender. This is something that a lot of people don't understand. It isn't really described accurately in terms of the legal skills that you need to kind of attempt to navigate the legal system in school. And people are easily persuaded by public defenders to, as they say, cop a plea, meaning to plead guilty or no contest to a charge that they really should fight, although, of course, it's a matter of time and risk and endurance and so forth. The problem with not fighting these charges is not just the fact that it emboldens police officers who are, in, you know, who are overcharging or making false arrests, but it also tends to rationalize and justify the whole criminal injustice system, which rolls forward on this meat, this human meat, of this, eats the human spirit for dinner on these kinds of charges. We have only her account that she put her hand in the white paint and daubed it on the wall, and then she's going to get threatened with a year in jail, which frightened her apparently. And it's not a little entirely clear what exactly happened. Who knows? Maybe there was more justification there than I thought. But based upon the kind of ordinances that are being passed in Santa Cruz and enforced by police officers who really should know better, and passed by city councils who do know better, and pressured by merchants who, if they don't know better, they're going to go out of business anyway, or they're living in a strange, paranoid world. It's a depressing situation. More from the interviews from Wednesday, the 25th.
Do you want to say who you are?
Robin.
And Robin, thank you. Anything you want to add for Free Radio Santa Cruz? Thanks for talking to us, and chow down is all I can say.
Did you plead bargain? How did you plead guilty?
Got a court date, which means...
We have another court date.
That means they did, I guess, what do they call it? The first day is called...
This is...
Well, you were sentenced to what? Probation?
Or?
No, it feels like it, though. They're like, oh, I can't hang out. I can't have any Sharpie pens on me. I can't have anything. They're basically... what's the word? Labeling me as a...
Vandal.
Yes, vandalizer and a tagger.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a gang look about you. That hat is pretty dangerous, okay?
Because I can't sign hotels.
Yeah, well... Yeah, no Sharpies. You can't have a Sharpie. Maybe a crayon would be worth.
No,
no crayon.
I can't do that too.
You can go for crayon.
I can't carry no crayon.
Are you on probation?
No, never on probation. Never, no.
Are you on probation now? Do they put you on probation?
It feels like it, no.
So, yeah, did you get a suspended sentence?
No, I just have to go to court.
Did the judge slap you around?
Did what?
Did the judge slap you around?
No.
Hard feathers? No.
No, she just, if I didn't have a public defender, I would have got a year.
Okay. Well, Robin, thank you, and let this be a lesson to you.
I know.
No more.
It sounds like she hasn't been sentenced yet, and so the public defenders tell her unless she pleads, she will face a possible year in jail. But that public defender is doing a great deal by giving her a deal. Again, I'm speculating. Who knows what's going on? These things are a mystery to me, and, maybe we'll find out ultimately down the road what went down with Robin of El Mano Blanco. Or is it La Mano Blanco?
We're white hunting downtown.
Was it the trestle?
At the trestle, sorry. All right, this will be on Free Radio tomorrow night.
Really?
Yes. The card gives you the times.
We got the radio right here.
So you can listen in 101.1 between 6 and 8. Today is the 24th of February.
Yes, it is. Wednesday,
and we are letting you get back to your meal.
It's Ash Wednesday.
And actually, I think it's the 25th, if I'm not mistaken. Yesterday was the 25th. Today is the 26th. But my dates often get turned around, so all I know is it was Wednesday, and now it's Thursday, so there.
For those of you who follow such things, I'm a follower of Zeus myself.
What is it?
I don't know. It's a Catholic holiday of some kind. The blood, the lamb, that sort of thing. It's all beyond me.
Well,
we're downtown, overcast day, about 15 to 2 on a Wednesday afternoon. It's the 25th of February, I believe. We're talking with
Nick.
And Nick, you're here in front of the Rosie McCanns. You stopped me to mention that the police officer gave a ride to a guy, which he found interesting, but that was after a ticket was written for music?
A horn, kind of an accordion horn or something. He told me, when I walked past him, all of a sudden the cop says, well, you're talking to me, I'm going to have to write you up, like that.
To
To who? To you? Or
he told the fella to play that. I didn't know he was playing music. He was all buttoned up by then. But he said, well, you're telling me something. I'm going to have to write you. That's what the cop said when I passed him.
Now this was on the other side of the street?
Yeah, over by the gap, I guess.
And was this fellow playing a trumpet of some kind?
No, a horn or something. I didn't hear it. It was already quiet. But he said that the lady across the street in the other building, that's where Borders is.
Didn't like the music.
He said that she ordered a citation on it, so the cop gave him one.
I'd like to order 6 citations to go, please.
At this time, he said he was going down directly to the attorney general, or whoever it is.
City attorney?
Attorney, yes. And,
who said this?
The fellow got a ticket. He says he didn't know anything about it. It wasn't mentioned anything. And but he says he plays down here all the time. He wasn't new, and he knew about you, Robert, because I said, well, Robert likes documenting this stuff. And it's weird because I was down sitting down at the corner, way that far in.
And you're pointing to the across from Badass Coffee, or
Further. This is my own thing at the mall. It's like a squad that falls.
But in any case, you saw some of this happen, and off he went to the city attorney's, eh?
Yeah. So this other different case is when I show up down at the street where that taqueria is off Fourth End.
Yeah.
And then there's a shoe place across. And it's always this guy in this Corvette. Well, this is the second time he parks in the I'm sitting on the bench, and he parks on the no parking, the red zone, and he's running his deeper blue Corvette, not real deep, but, and he's kind of a military piss hole, you know. He's older, gray guy, you know, maybe 40s.
What is he down that concerns you?
Just looking at him pisses me off in another direction. I just leave the area, you know. He's like military, he's there just to suck blood off. I'm a...
You're a paranoid bigot, that's what you are.
Bigot. No, it's the fact that they're out of whack, and I'm in solitaire, and they just try and home in on it so they can go out and chum up with somebody and bust them. Well, you know, just get the lights together. That's the way I view it, kind
of
like.
It's a little hard to understand, Nick, but I may catch the drift of what you're saying.
You remember Sean Bell?
Not entirely.
He's a fella who, on his the evening before his wedding, was gunned down.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
A little music here on the mall.
And listening to snatches and patches of stuff from the streets in the last week. I did get a call from an anonymous, perhaps he's not anonymous, but I'm waiting for an update on one of our frequent callers has purportedly been seized and taken behind bars, but I'm waiting for to find out if that's, you know, local alcoholic bars or the steel bars of our very sturdy county jail. Perhaps the caller in question can call in and talk about it. I don't really know what went down, and I don't like being a fourth-hand source, so I'm going to let that one go until I hear from what's going on that front. I'm sorry to be so cryptic about it, but perhaps all will be revealed in due time. Like perhaps now, who knows? Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert.
Hey there. It's Scope It Out, Scott. How are you doing, Scott?
All right. Well, anyway, so this is like, you don't want to be fourth hand, but this is like second hand information.
Okay.
You know, I got this from the Wiley ex-mailman, Stewart.
Uh-huh.
And he was walking by when Madison's car or SUV last week got a, what do you call those things they put on your tire? The boot. They put a boot on it because I guess she had about outstanding parking tickets.
Uh-huh.
And so then they came 3 days later to tow it, because if you don't pay your tickets in 3 days, once you get the boot, then they tow your car.
And Madison is, of course, a caller who regular listeners know for her strident tone on occasion, sometimes outrageous statements, but often a lot of community information. She goes to a lot of meetings and so forth.
Well, she's also insane. Let's just put that out there.
She's also what?
insane.
Insane. Well, I would regard certain people on the city council as far more dangerous than she. But she does live on, I know she lives on Maple Street, not too far from our secret studio headquarters.
Right.
And from your secret lair, actually.
But anyway, so according to Stuart, once the tow truck showed up and there was like a parking meter made there because they have to like take the boot off the car for the thing to be able to get towed, she came out with some little snippers for, you know, cutting branches off of, you know, bushes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then tried to pop her tires or something, thinking to stop them. And then, anyway, she eventually came out with some big head cutters and cut the stems off of her wheels so that the tires all went flat, which didn't prevent them from towing her vehicle at all. But because she was menacing with her hedge cutters, she was arrested.
Wow. And so she's probably in the lockup somewhere?
I guess. I don't know. I haven't, that's the last I heard. Somebody told me that yesterday that she was still in there. So.
Hmm. Well, perhaps we'll get a report from inside by Madison when she gets out.
Okay. You never know.
Any reports on the city council? Sometime occasional, no longer with us, city council watchers, Scott?
No, I don't know what they're doing this week.
Okay, well, actually, they did their, I think they, well, I'll try to give a report on Sunday, and maybe you can give me your analysis. I know the no smoking proposal by Coonerty and Lane did not come up on the agenda this last week.
Such a ridiculous thing. I mean, cars are much more dangerous to people's health as far as breathing car exhaust. It's so much more dangerous than breathing secondhand cigarette smoke. It's just like, it's absurd. Until we get cars off the avenue, to say that they're going to stop smoking on the avenue, it's just another affront to the street people, basically.
Well, that, of course, was one of the reasons why a lot of the bigots on the Topic Sentinel forums seemed to be supportive of it, although there were some libertarians who said, well, we don't like these damn hippies and street people and bums, but what about the idea of the right to smoke somewhere legally if you're not bothering somebody else?
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, that hasn't come up at city council. Maybe it won't. But we have some pretty ridiculous laws that did come up and were passed, you know, some weeks ago, as you know. And,
right, yes.
Anyway, the forbidden zones and so forth, no sitting on a bench for more than an hour, yada, yada, yada. Anything else you want to report, Scott?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, I expect you to be visiting Madison in jail when you do.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Give us the update.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
And phone lines are open, 427-3772. Let's continue with the various not terribly impressive street interviews that I've rounded up for this show.
Annie Schaefer.
Oh, ho. And you're both from Michigan, according to the sign, need money, and you are needing help because you miss
my mommy.
Right. How are you going to get back? Are you going to fly back? Going to walk back? What's the deal?
We have a car. We're driving.
And have you been hassled for sitting on public property while playing the guitar with an open guitar case?
A little bit.
And what kind of hassle was that?
They told us we can't sit on the boxes.
And you are ignoring them. You scofflaw. You.
It's ridiculous. They just told us to sit on the ground in front of the boxes, so.
You decided that would be both undignified and cold to the butt.
Exactly.
What did you say about that?
Same.
How many? Was it a police officer or some smarmy woman who told you that? Who isn't a police officer?
It's a woman.
We call them. They call themselves the hosts. We call them the pests.
Oh, yes. Smarmy.
Is he getting some money? It looks like you picked up at least maybe $10, $12. How long have you been playing out here?
Like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, about that. Something like that.
And it's about 2:15 today on a kind of an overcast Wednesday. Anything you want to say to the free radio audience?
No, not really.
Fuck the police.
Fuck the police? What kind of comment is the officer over here? All right, we've been talking with
Sam
and Annie.
Thank you both. You want to play some music for us?
Yeah.
Sure.
What do you want to play?
Drops of Jupiter.
Or an original composition of your own choosing, if you wish.
We don't have that.
Oh, get with it, but go ahead.
Now she's back in the atmosphere. Drops of Jupiter in her hair. She acts like summer and walks like rain. Remind me that there's time to change.
Those two were playing on Pacific Avenue here. Mayor Matthews walked by across the street, observing, perhaps out of the corner of her eye, that the two of them were sitting illegally, as you may have heard. Wait, here's that scofflaw about Santa Cruz, Brian Parquette. Brian, what rascalry are you up to?
Apparently some 50-year-old lady got plowed over by a Suburban.
A vehicle?
Yeah, somewhere out on off of Ocala at an apartment complex.
What is a Suburban?
It's a large one-ton pickup truck.
And should I have some particular reaction to this? I mean, does someone I know? What's the relevance of this? Although, you know, it's certainly unfortunate.
It wasn't reported in the newspaper. I'm not going to go any further.
We'll just leave you and your mysterious commentary. Anything else you want to add?
When I get more details, I'll get back to you on it.
In the meantime, keep us posted.
I'll try.
Thank you. It does look like the benches have been cleared from in front of Del Williams Jewelers, in front of Marini's. And there are no benches until you get to, I guess it's looks like Bunny Shoes or thereabouts. And there is one bench still here at the in front of the Pacific Trading Company. I'm talking with a member of the public who's concerned that the benches seem to be disappearing, and they are. I was making that comment myself as I was standing up the street.
One by one.
And you're sitting on one of the few relatively few remaining benches.
Yeah.
Because the benches seem to be disappearing. Don Lane, a council member, has said that he will push to have the benches that are currently in storage. There were supposed to be like 57 benches after the earthquake that they put in. Then there were 27 left. Now there are less than that. The problem, of course, is that once they put in a bench, it means that no one will be able to sit within 14 feet of a bench under the new no-sitting law. I don't know if you know about that. So you'll be able to sit on the bench, but you won't be able to sit. You know, you have to be seven of these squares away from the bench to sit on the sidewalk. It's, you know, pretty silly. Any comments?
Just that my taxes go to pay for these benches and pay to have them installed.
Yeah.
And then it's like they're taking them out. And I like to sit out and have a cup of coffee and smoke a cigarette. And it's like
smoking downtown.
They're saying, don't do that. Yeah.
Well, you can contact Councilmember Don Lane. That's a suggestion that people in the audience can do. The city council number is 420-5020, in case you want to call him. 420-5020. Not that they're worth a shit or they're likely to do anything, but that is, in theory, something you can do. Another is to talk to your friends. I work with organizations that are eventually going to start doing protests around this, like, you know, walking up and down with signs saying, where are the benches, that sort of thing, you know. But you ask a very good question, and, you know, it's interesting that the mayor who just walked by about 10 minutes ago, maybe you should talk to her. She's make an appointment with Mayor Matthews and tell her you're concerned. You live around town, you know, you feel like you need to sit down, and where the hell are the benches?
It's just absurd that they're taking it out on everybody else, trying to control the street population.
Do you want to say who you are for free radio, or should we keep it anonymous?
No, just keep it anonymous.
All right. Well, thank you. And a lot of people, I think, share your concern. You're not the only one who's raising this issue. So thanks.
All right. See you later.
All right, man. So as I walk up Pacific Avenue, there are two benches in front of Graphics, kind of facing away from each other. And there also are two benches in the Borders area, actually one in the Borders area and one near Rosie McCann's. But aside from that, there are no benches up the street on this in this neck of the woods. There's no benches in front of the Gap. There's no benches. Badass has, of course, private seating. But the bench in front of the Pacific Cookie Company is gone. And there ain't no stinking benches here anymore. We're talking with
Lex. I ride road bikes, mainly fixed gears, anything fast, nice wheels, nice rims. But anyways, cars are not watching for you in 2009. They're too busy trying to make it to the bank to pay their fucking bills they're behind on. So even in the daytime, nobody's watching for you. So watch for cars, because they will hit you and hit and run you because they don't want to add on to their bills.
And you've recently had such an experience.
Yeah, I just got hit and ran, and I got a broken collarbone, and I'm schmeagled. And,
but you're still playing the guitar.
Yeah, I can play guitar. And they told me I'd lose strength, and I can't do that, so I have to like do a little exercises. I got full range of movement. But anyways, cars aren't watching for you. Watch out if you're on road bikes. They're really fast. You're just as fast as a car, and cars don't get that anymore.
All right, man. Thank you, man.
Cars don't see you.
And what do you have to say, sir?
I picked up, for my second time,
yeah,
I picked up Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd.
There you go. Certainly a key moment in your later life.
This is the second time, because one was stolen from me.
I see. So this time you're going to hold on to it with both hands.
This one I've got completely a grip on.
Fair enough. We've been talking with
Lance.
The Lance. Thank you, Lance.
Welcome.
All right. We're here with a man with a dog on his lap. Sleepy dog, looks like. I could not decide, says the sign on your, this kind of hoisted on your knees, what to write, but give me some money anyways. How about a cigarette? By the way, that's an unusual spelling for cigarette.
Is it?
Two G's. No, not
one
the
G. That's right.
I mean, Tigger,
which
yes, Sigger, no.
Went for journalism. I would like to be an author one day. Big fan of Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
So that's sad that I didn't even pay attention to that. I was like,
you're in front of the Del Mar Theater. Have you been getting lots of big tips from the Del Mar client?
No, I got 50 cents today. That's it.
How long have you been here?
Well, I've been in Spanish for probably about an hour or so now. Maybe a little more.
The name of your pooch?
Gonzo.
And have you been told that you cannot have a doggy on Pacific Avenue, that you can walk, you can carry your doggy, but you cannot walk her?
Right. I haven't let him touch the ground yet. He's been in my lap or walked around with him. So, yeah, so far.
Eyes on you. The eyes of authority are keeping an eye on you, criminal types.
They are. They always try.
We're just such criminal types.
We're horrible.
There's one of your cohorts over there, I see.
Yes, we're horrible people. We're sitting around trying to live life. It's horrible.
Beggars and thieves, that's what I say.
Beggars and thieves, that's what they all say.
Anything you've seen downtown you want to comment on in the last hour or the last year or whatever?
They need to change a lot of these laws, because this is pretty ridiculous, like the cops hassling people over...
Have you been hassled recently?
Not too bad, but like
you can't even... Surprisingly nice to our people.
Yeah, Ranger Wallace is pretty nice. You can't even lean on a trash can.
Wait a minute, Ranger Wallace nice? This could be a breaking news. What happened?
When we were found under the bridge sleeping and it was raining, and he came and he said he understood and wasn't going to cite us for once.
Did he make you leave?
Yeah, of course. We're not allowed under the bridge again. He's
that
gonna,
nice? Are you kidding?
He's going to start checking it all the time, but he didn't cite us for once.
Did he offer you a legal place to go?
No, of course not.
Say there was a complaint?
Yes, actually, he said there was businesses had been complaining, but I don't believe that personally. I think that
you
was...
You mean you were ruining the business by being under the bridge?
Yeah, not even near the businesses, to tell you the truth. Like, we were under the bridge, way, way out of sight, but they're going to use that excuse against us.
Again, we've been talking with...
Kool-Aid.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Dave.
All right, Mr. Void, and you have, looks like you have a Another two creatures next to you, one of them greener than the other. What is your name?
Bubbles.
And you are?
Void.
And you're leaning against a backpack. Some might say, and the backpack is leaning against a trash compactor, a litter compactor, which will soon be illegal under the new downtown ordinances. What do you think of that, Void?
I think that things need to go back to like it was in 98, when the street kids took care of everything and they didn't bother us because we took care of ourselves.
And what do you say about that?
Yeah.
He's the strong, silent type. Any other comments before I leave the two of you alone in peace?
I think they need to stop their policy of harassment for all the homeless. We're not doing anything to harm anyone, and if we were all gone, a lot of the tourist trade would disappear here.
Were you one of the people driven out from under the bridge by the kind and merciful Ranger Wallace?
Oh, yeah.
How many of you were driven out into the rain?
About 10 of us.
Yeah, for sure.
About 10 or so.
And when was this?
Two nights ago.
And about what time?
7:30 in the morning?
Something like that.
For sure. One of the ungodly hours.
Yeah, too early.
What was Ranger Wallace doing stalking around at 7:30 in the morning under the Soquel Bridge?
Under the Soquel Bridge, he was just looking for squat kids.
Maybe he's taking a fatherly interest. He's used to get a little more, action in the rain.
The last time he took a fatherly interest, he got his leg broken, so...
Tell me about that. What happened?
I don't know the actual story to it. I've only heard all the rumors.
I haven't heard this story.
He apparently woke up the wrong camp and got a tree branch in the leg for it.
And what about the person who so assaulted the good chief ranger?
You know, as of now, it's still rumor, and I don't know who did it.
Well, I think if the chief ranger's leg were broken, it would probably be news in the paper, but maybe not. Maybe it's been kept sub rosa or under covers or whatever. But thank you, Void, for this update.
No problem.
And I also want to thank your associate.
Bubbles, thank you.
Thank you, Bubbles, and thank you.
For sure, anytime.
All right, man. And one last comment.
They need to, stop being so afraid of the love and everybody taking care of each other. It's what they're really afraid of is not getting the money that they so dearly want from the businesses. They're afraid people might think for themselves and, you know, take care of each other and then what would happen to them. And, you know, they just don't care. Their entire business is set forth on people trying to live their life and do their own thing, and they're going to come by and they're going to ticket you for it and tell you that just because they don't want you to do that, that you have to pay the money. You can't love. You can't live your life anymore without it coming down to legal this, legal that. It's ridiculous, and it's really wrong, personally.
Thank you. Again, we've been talking with...
Kool-Aid.
Thank you, Kool-Aid.
And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. If any of this sparks any thoughts, feelings, experiences you want to share, commentary, you name it, you can give a call. 427-3772 is the call-in number, 427-FRSC. If you want to leave a message for anyone else in this collective, or you have a public service announcement you want to give, or you want to pass on some bucks or some spare equipment, or perhaps you have a question, or maybe you want to join the collective, that is something you should go to. You should call the following number, and it's 427-4523. That's the voicemail, 427-4523. Somebody's calling into the studio. Let's see who's calling. Hi there, caller. You're on Free Radio. Who are you?
Hey, this is Dave, man. You know?
Drummer Dave? Yes.
So how's it going, Rob?
Well, you're one of the few callers. Actually, we did get a caller or two or one, maybe. What's happening,
DD?
Oh,
I thought you got a lot. Maybe they were recorded callers.
No, those are just tapes of me on the streets wandering about with my tape recorder.
Oh, yeah. Did I see you yesterday at the drums?
I did come by, and actually that will be coming up on the tape pretty soon.
Oh, cool. I was in the middle. I was yelling your name, but you were going, man. I thought you left.
Well, you know, drum circle has been pretty successful. You had a pretty successful circle yesterday, yeah?
Yeah, it was successful. One guy almost got hit by a car.
What, because he was wandering around in the middle of the road, or the car was taking, was being careless, or what happened?
Well, normally people, when they find a spot, right, for somebody, they say, you know, walk around the parking lot and find me a spot, and I'll just sit right here. You know, if a car pulls out, go stand there.
Right.
Ward off any cars looking for parking, because I'm going to park there.
Right.
And Dharmananda was trying to park his car, and a friend of mine and yours, and he, this young Mexican lad, kind of stocky, he's been at the drum circle many times. I asked him if he'd go stand in that space. I spotted a space, and I would go and flag down Dharmananda wherever he was, because he had just proceeded by the drum circle looking for a parking spot. And I found him, and I directed him to that spot where that young man was standing, and the another car actually forced that young man out of that spot, almost endangering his life, where the man was waving his hands and saying, no, don't park here, someone's going to park here, and that man almost ran him over.
Hmm. Well, you know, that's could be the cause.
Both men together.
That could be the cause for actually a relevant police report on that issue. I mean, you know, you might get Sergeant Harms involved in ticketing a tourist. I know it's frightening.
Oh, no, I wouldn't
No,
what I did was the right thing. I asked the man to please talk to Dharmananda, the car that was idling behind where he had parked.
And what did the man do?
I told the man that that young man that he almost ran over is very upset, and he, you know, and so the man yielded to Dharmananda and backed his car out.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad
so
you heard
he
that.
Did a wrong, but then he did a right.
Excellent.
So that worked out.
That
and
sounds
that's
great.
Called self-policing, you know, or self, you know,
self-regulation
ability, and that yeah. takes place in that parking lot.
Now we're talking, Dave, about, of course, parking lot number 4, which is at Cathcart and Cedar, right next to the farmer's market yesterday on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, and people do stupid things like this all over town. Hey, you know, it's not like I'm pointing at the drum circle parking lot and saying, oh, hey, this happened there. Shoot, this stuff happens all throughout the whole world, you know, including Santa Cruz. So, but, you know, people need to be aware that cars are getting more aggressive on the road. Because gas and everything else.
Yeah, and I think also people need to be aware that, well, what your story tells me is that people can work things out among each other. I mean, I immediately said, well, call the cops. But you pointed
right.
out, why,
normally,
no, that's not necessary, you know.
Situation that's just a Santa Cruz walking around. People work things out, you know, when a bum says, hey, I need some money, and they take that as like, hey, you're not needed here, or, you know, I mean, that's, both are in the wrong, you know, and so both need to work it out, right, and not call a cop about it. Hey, I need some money. Oh, I think you're a bum, you know, and then language happens, you know. And,
I agree.
And people need to just get right from the beginning and stop being wrong in the first place. Like the city council removing all the benches. So, look, I took care of an old woman once, and she needed to sit down every 20 feet, man. You know, and I mean, I'm just, and if she knew what was happening, she was in Santa Cruz, shoot, man, she would be down there with me, you know, talking to that guy, going, hey, now watch this woman walk. Now see how tired
I mean, it's
she
it's
gets
actually,
it's, she gets 20 feet. Hey, she needs somewhere to sit down. She used to ask me, and she used to ask people in stores, do you have a chair? Wherever I took her, do you have a chair?
You know, it's interesting. It is true that city council could do something about this.
This is horrible.
Wait a minute. Hang on, Dave. They aren't the ones removing the benches, but they have control over the department in the city that is the Parks and Rec Department.
So sorry that I put them down like they were at fault. I'm sorry about that.
They are at fault, of course.
I retake that comment.
But, I mean,
yes.
See,
please,
my point is
council.
That what happens is the city council, if it actually had to do this publicly, you know, if they have to have a hearing before they removed a bench, which really should be the case. It shouldn't be the business that if a merchant doesn't like a group of people hanging out in front of his store at a bench, they can just remove the bench. That's ridiculous. They should have to consult the community because the bench is a public resource. But instead, Danette Shoemaker of Parks and Rec, and before her, Steve Hammack, when he was, actually, he's the person who's kind of down on the ground, but Shoemaker's above Steve Hammack, the Parks and Rec Department has taken upon itself the right to do this, and the City Council allows them to do this without any public accountability.
Yes, and those people need to open the door in their mind. Like, they need to get aware that there are human beings on this planet, and more are being created. And those benches were created to seat people, and there's more and more coming. The room is still filling up, Robert. I'm still in this room, and there's more people coming. You know, only the big corporations are swimming in money. Okay?
And the banks. Obama's making sure of that.
Hey, it didn't go through. The bill was wrong. Stop. Wait. Train coming.
It did go through.
People on track. Stop that train.
That's the spirit. That's
okay.
The spirit. I actually like that spirit.
Get it together.
Yeah.
I can't. Hey, man, it's still there, man. It's still there. The economy is, you know, hurting. I'm just looking at it and saying, hey, this is free radio. Y'all tune in. You hear? And y'all come back now. You hear?
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, Rob. You take care, man.
Talk to you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's true. It is free radio. Phone lines are open, 427-3772, 427-FRSC. Call in. And, well, that was quick. Hi, you're on free radio. And who are you?
This is Uncle Dennis.
Hey there, Dennis. What's happening?
I just wanted to point out that it's actually not okay for a pedestrian to save a parking space in a city parking lot or on the street. That's not legal, actually. Parking is first come, first serve. If your car ain't there and somebody else's car is, the first car there gets the parking space. So you might want to spread that around down at the drum circle that, you know, you can tell somebody there's an open parking space, but you can't go stand in it and save it for somebody. That's not legal. And it's unfortunate the driver, you know, got so aggressive about it, but the driver was actually in the right. So, you know, that's the situation, man.
But let me ask you, Dennis. What's your authority on this? Have you had like experience as a law enforcement officer? Have you researched this?
If you're standing in a street, you're jaywalking.
No, you're not actually.
You're
jaywalking.
If you're blocking traffic and someone parking their car is traffic, you're jaywalking.
Well, if you obstruct a vehicle that is in motion, I suppose that's certainly jaywalking. But you know,
you just can't.
Is that the basis
that's,
on which?
I'll look it up.
Do look it up.
You know that don't happen. It don't work that way. And
well, I'm not going to stand in front of your car, Dennis.
Well, actually, you'd probably survive if I hit you.
It's kind of a small car.
You'd probably ruin my car.
Well, I represent that remark.
Anyway, you know.
What's coming up tonight on From the Creams to the Dregs? You're the next show up. Anything you want to let people know that's coming down the pike?
Well, we're going to have, you know, as usual, great music from the 60s and 70s. I'm currently working on the news for the Earth First Update. And, of course, at 10 o'clock we'll have the Spotlight Group of the Week, a whole hour of one group or one artist. So,
are you going to have a particular update on this latest horseshit terrorism nonsense that's being levied against people for essentially free speech activities?
Are you particularly talking about the four animal rights activists who firebombed university professors' homes? Is that it?
No, I'm not talking about those four. I'm talking about four who are accused not of firebombing, but of protesting in front of someone's house. I should actually I can pull up the story on Indy Bay, but you know,
that's the same people. You know, they actually haven't got enough information about them to. I'm aware of that case. you know, so. But I would direct people to go to Santa Cruz Indie Bay dot whatever it is to get that story.
Yeah, IndieBay.org has got
IndieBay.org. That's it.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, I know that you have a lot of concern with environmental issues, and animals are a part of the environment, as you know.
Yes, they are, and
some would say an endangered part of the
environment. While I think that you know, holding a peaceful protest in front of someone's house is a good thing to do, you know, I don't particularly condone firebombing anyone's residence. You know. So,
what about my residence?
I don't even know where you live, Robert.
Well, I try to.
You want to give that out on the air?
I've been working on that one. okay, it is a good point. Santa Cruz Indie Media, which is, you can Google for Santa Cruz IMC, or you can just go to www.santacruz.indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, and you can get their perspective on it. From what I read, it sounded to me like there's pretty thin evidence against these people. It wasn't about firebombing. It was for chalking slogans, leafleting, and protesting. That's the claim. And so I was just wondering about that. But, hey, you know, Santa Cruz, it's illegal to chalk. So I guess that can be construed as a rather mild form of terrorism. Unless, of course, you're doing a bike ride through town and you can chalk all over the place because the city's making money off the bikers. You know what I mean?
Well, the animal abuse industry, which includes fur farmers, vivisectors, and other people involved with abusing animals for profit, got a bill passed in Congress that makes, you know, that kind of protest apparently illegal. So I think people need to think about, you know, what they're going to do about that kind of stuff, because you know, it's you know, there's a lot of stuff going on that ain't always legal.
I'll read a little bit about it, and thanks for calling in, Dennis. And
we'll see you in 20 minutes or so.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I'm looking at actually kind of a spinoff, a testimony before the congressional testimony before the House Committee on Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security on H.R. 4239, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. It's a statement of Will Potter, who characterizes himself as a specialist in journalist specializing in eco-terrorism and civil liberties, author of www.greenisthenewred.com website. And he says, I'm not a spokesman for the animal rights movement or underground groups. I'm not a First Amendment scholar. I'm here because of my freelance reporting. I've written for publications including the Chicago Tribune, the Dallas Morning News, and Legal Affairs. And since 2000, I've closely followed the animal rights and environmental movements and the corporate-led backlash against them. I've documented an increasingly disturbing trend of, quote, terrorist rhetoric, swinging legislation, grand jury witch hunts, blacklists, and sweeping legislation, not swinging legislation, and FBI harassment, reminiscent of tactics used against Americans during the Red Scare. The Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act is a continuation of that trend. The bill is ostensibly a response to illegal actions committed by underground activists in the name of animal rights. Business groups have lobbied for this legislation for years, and Department of Justice officials have said they need help prosecuting these crimes. At the same time, they have been patting themselves on the back for arresting so-called eco-terrorists. Just this weekend, four individuals were indicted. This was back in May of 2006. Indicted for the 1998 fire at a Vail ski resort. Earlier this year, the government rounded up over a dozen environmental activists in the Northwest for property crimes. And on top of that, six animal activists were convicted in March of animal enterprise terrorism and other charges. If committee members want law enforcement to focus resources on the animal rights and environmental movements, that's already being done. The government has been able to make arrests and convictions using existing laws. This legislation will not help solve crimes. It will, however, risk painting legal activity and nonviolent civil disobedience with the same broad brush as illegal activists. It takes the administration's "you're either with us or against us mentality of the war on terrorism and applies it to activists. This legislation criminalizes any activity against an animal enterprise or any company connected to an animal enterprise that causes, quote, economic damage, unquote. That includes the replacement costs of lost or damaged property or records, the costs of repeating an interrupted or invalidated experiment, and, quote, the loss of profits, unquote. That clause, loss of profits, would sweep in not only property crimes, but legal activity like protests, boycotts, investigations, media campaigning, and whistleblowing. It would also include campaigns of nonviolent civil disobedience, like blocking entrances to a laboratory, or perhaps a parking spot, where controversial animal testing is taking place. Those aren't acts of terrorism, they are effective activism. Businesses exist to make money, and if activists want to change a business practice, they must make that practice unprofitable. That principle guided the grape boycotts of the United Farm Workers, the lunch counter civil disobedience of civil rights activists, and the divestment campaigns of anti-apartheid groups. Those tactics all hurt profits. And those tactics, if directed at an animal enterprise, would all be considered terrorism under this bill. In fact, those three examples would probably receive stiffer penalties because they caused, quote, significant or, quote, major economic damage or disruption. In other words, the more successful that activists are, the greater the terrorist threat they become under this bill. And it sounds a little bit like the old libel law, where the greater the truth of the libel, the harder the penalty. In other words, if you say something that's true about someone that damages their reputation, even though it's true, if it does more damage, it's worse because it's true, particularly if you're talking about the government, because it has a greater impact. That's the basis of the early sedition laws, which supposedly have been overturned, but keep coming back in American history again and again. Again, reading some more from congressional testimony by Will Potter. Sorry for the delay there. About the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. It is my understanding at the time of drafting this testimony, the proposed changes might exclude expressive conduct, including peaceful picketing or other peaceful demonstrations, protected from legal prohibition by the First Amendment. It is a positive and incremental first step to include peaceful picketing. However, the bill does not specifically exclude other activities like boycotts, whistleblowing, undercover investigation, and nonviolent civil disobedience. Furthermore, the inclusion of trespassing in damaging and disruptive activity puts undercover investigators and whistleblowers further at risk. Undercover video and photography undoubtedly impact profits. They have also led to prosecutions, animal welfare reforms, and a more informed democratic process on these issues. Exceptions are made in the bill for disruption or damage that results from lawful. It's a rather extensive story, which I'm going to stop at here because, frankly, I don't know what the details of the ultimate bill was and how successful Will Potter was. But he does link this article with a more recent article on Santa Cruz Indy Media, Sunday, actually, February 22nd. FBI arrests four activists as terrorists for chalking slogans, leafleting, and protesting. And Will Potter writes, "It was only a matter of time since the passage of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, a sweeping new law labeling animal rights activists as terrorists. Corporations and industry groups have been pushing the federal government to use their new powers. For more than 2 years, the law has sat on the shelf. The government has finally put it to use. On February 19th and 20th, the Joint Terrorism Task Force of the FBI arrested four animal rights activists as, quote, terrorists. Details of the arrests and the charges are still coming, but based on my conversations with attorneys and local news articles, this is the most sweeping expansion of the war on terrorism and the Green Scare to date. As background, a fierce campaign is being waged in California against animal research at the University of California system. There has been a wide range of both legal and illegal tactics. Illegal tactics have included the destruction of UC vans. In August, an incendiary device was left at the home of a UC researcher. That was what Uncle Dennis referred to, I think, when he talked about firebombing a house. No animal rights group has claimed responsibility for this crime, but the university, the FBI, and others have recklessly attributed it to activists. These terrorism arrests are not related to that bombing, though. They're also not related to the destruction of property. These activists, Nathan Pope, Adriana Stumpo, Joseph Budenberg, and Mariam Kajalvi, were arrested for First Amendment activity. My calls to the FBI for a copy of the indictment have not been returned, and attorneys I've contacted have not viewed it either. However, the FBI's press release notes that the activists are facing four charges and lists four incidents. These include protesting outside the home of a UC Berkeley professor, some activists, quote, wearing bandanas to hide their faces, trespassed on his front yard, chanted slogans, and accused him of being a murderer because of his use of animals in research. At another protest, activists, quote, marched, chanted, and chalked defamatory comments on the public sidewalks in front of the residences, end quote. At one protest, a group of five or six activists allegedly, quote, attempted to forcibly enter the private home of a University of California researcher in Santa Cruz. And then finally, flyers titled Murderers and Torturers Alive and Well in Santa Cruz, July 2008 edition, were found at a local coffee shop. They listed the names, addresses, and telephone numbers of several researchers. The flyers said, animal abusers everywhere, beware. We know where you live. We know where you work. We will never back down until you end your abuse. The FBI says three of the defendants are tied to, quote, production and distribution of the flyers, unquote. Chalking, leafleting, and protesting are not terrorism. They are not property crimes, and they are not violent crimes. They are speech. Unlike real terrorists, these defendants are not accused of arming themselves with bombs or machine guns. Their only weapons are words. The only allegation of possible criminal activity is the FBI's mention of a forced entry. The details of that incident are unclear, though. For instance, at many lawful home protests in the past, activists have been attacked by the people they are protesting, who understandably are not happy about a demonstration right outside their front door. In short, the very worst element of the entire set of allegations is nowhere near any reasonable person's threshold for what constitutes terrorism. And the article goes on. I recommend you read it. It's on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz or Santa Cruz Indie Media, if you Google for it, and it's by, it's called FBI Arrests Four Activists as Terrorists for Chalking Slogans, Leafleting, and Protesting by Green is the New Red, Will Potter, reposted from his website, greenisthenewred.com. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norse. You're listening to Bathroom Spears Broadsides, the final 20 minutes. I'm going to move now to an article in today's Santa Cruz Urinal, which styles itself the Santa Cruz Sentinel. And I actually noticed this article because it was emailed to me by activist Becky Johnson, and then I noticed it on the front page of the Santa Cruz Sentinel. It's an article by our own yellow journalist, Jennifer Squires, Cops to Get Legal Help with Downtown Offenders. I know it's considered bad form to attack reporters because they may write a bad story about you. Well, get a clue, they already have, and you got to characterize bullshit as bullshit. Otherwise, sometimes people will swallow it as though it weren't, and then they'll get really sick or do strange things. Here's the story. Santa Cruz police officer is pictured as Dan Forbus, in his uniform and with all his accoutrements about him, you know, gun, taser, baton, body armor, all that stuff that they walk around downtown with as though, you know, we're in, you know, downtown Tel Aviv or something, because at any time, you know, they might be attacked by terrorists. I really find this over-policing highly repugnant and an attempt to intimidate the citizenry, frankly, from a lot of legal activity, which the merchants seem to feel helps their business if they clear away poor people from the sidewalk. So that's been my kind of point of departure, and I'll carry on now by reading her story. Santa Cruz. It's time, it's the name of this is Cops to Get Legal Help with Downtown Offenders, as though they didn't already have it. It's fair to say police consider David Larson a problem on Pacific Avenue. The 35-year-old has been arrested or cited more than 40 times in the downtown and beach areas since January 1, 2007. He was arrested earlier this month for public intoxication. 2 days before that arrest, he was cited for having an open container of alcohol, according to police records. He's also on misdemeanor probation and has many active violations working through the court system. Court records show some of his tickets have gone unpaid for so long, they're in collections now. And he's never paid a fine. So here's this evil David Larson, who's the real main problem downtown that, you know, is causing the businesses to lose all their business. This is my commentary. First of all, there's such a thing as a stay-away order from downtown. And there's such a thing as a conviction for public intoxication. If you really can convict someone of it, and you're not just arresting them because they're a little bit tipsy or because they've had a few drinks. Convicting someone of public intoxication means showing that they are unable to take care of themselves. And I would wager that 90% of the people picked up on the streets by the police are not for public intoxication and left in a cold cell to sit there till 3 in the morning when they're released on the street aren't in that state. It's more the police making their own sort of offhand curbside judgment about what kind of behavior constitutes proper behavior downtown in terms of either it can be whether they've had something to drink or it can be the attitude they have towards people. I've seen this or heard this in accounts and then seen people talking about this downtown. So the idea that there aren't laws that already exist that can't be and aren't, in fact, are used. People get stay-away orders from downtown. And if they break the stay order, they get jailed. And they stay there. That's why the county jail is overcrowded. And because there's also a huge number of drug war prisoners in there as well that we don't talk about because, you know, we only want to talk about the national issue or the medical marijuana issue, but not what our own jails are doing to our own community and our own sheriffs and our own district attorneys and our own public defenders who collude in this process. Continuing with the story by Jennifer Squires, Larson is not alone, David Larson. While most people who are ticketed for minor violations show up in court to fight the citation or simply pay the ticket, about 5% of the people in the county cited for minor violations fail to show up or pay up, according to court records. I find that that's a possibility for talking about the whole universe of tickets, including like vehicular citations, like, you know, driving, going through a stop sign. But if you're talking about the category of people who are ticketed for, let's say, sitting in a forbidden zone downtown, or panhandling on the sidewalk, or drunk in public where that doesn't involve driving a vehicle, I don't know that most of those people do show up in court. I think that it's not 5%, that it's probably a much larger percentage. And that has to do with the realities of economic life and also the fact that officers often don't show up in court for the trials of these tickets 50% of the time because either they're bogus tickets or the officer has something better to do than this kind of trivial shit. So because this article is talking about the downtown, it gives the misimpression that there's only a small number of evil people that are now somehow being able to use the existing legal system to slip outside it and terrorize our community with their public drunkenness and their bad behavior downtown. That's not the case. I think a lot of the problem also comes from the fact that some people are, for better or for worse, categorized as mentally ill. And they are housing facilities for people and alternate treatment therapies for people who need them are not available in this community because so much money is being spent on, you know, forbidden zones and paying the police to go after sleepers and marijuana smokers and violators of the downtown ordinances that have little to do with public health and safety but a lot to do with merchant prejudice and residential fears. But the point of this article is to make people believe that the police are really in need of more laws. Here we go. And they're going to get this law. There's a new law that was passed by the city council that has to do with three infractions and it becomes a misdemeanor. Infractions are crimes that are not misdemeanors. That is to say they are punishable only by a fine or by doing community service. That's what you would normally think. You know, you think it's ridiculous to get any kind of a ticket anyway for sitting off to the side on the sidewalk, but that's what officers will give poor and homeless people who are doing that in Santa Cruz. Not so much tourists. And that's where selective enforcement comes in. But once Once a person sits twice, it's a misdemeanor, actually. It's not an infraction. And that's something that the city council, including Vice Mayor Rotkin, either ignored or lied to the community about, somehow claiming that multiple infractions don't give you a misdemeanor. So they created a new law which says any time you get three infraction tickets of any kind, not just for one type of offense, but for all types of offenses put together, and you don't go down to court and pay the fine, which you may not be able to do, or go down to court and then pay for the community service, which you also may not be able to do. It's not cheap paying the community service, community options fees. Then you get a misdemeanor, punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine, which means you do get to go to jail, and the community has to bear the expense of that. The notion being that this somehow is going to help the businesses to terrorize people and drive poor people away out of town and drive hippies and counterculture people and musicians that they don't like and punks or skunks, punks, and drunks, as my favorite right-wing talk show hosts back at KSCO used to put it, out of town. It ain't going to happen, folks. All you're going to do is create more tensions, cost more money, and, you know, rationalize more violence by people on all sides, I think, or certainly less respect for the law. Because how can you respect a city council and a set of laws that has nothing to do with bad behavior, but everything to do about giving the police the power to simply make curbside decisions by saying, oh, well, you're sitting in that zone, but you're okay because I like you. I'll just warn you. You, I'm going to give you a ticket. You know, and you know, and you got one ticket one day for sleeping. The next day you got a day ticket for panhandling, and a week later you got a ticket because you were sitting on the planter box over there, not hurting anything, but that's illegal. That's three tickets, and unless you deal with all those tickets, you get a misdemeanor, which means, incidentally, that if you leave the area, you may well get deported back to Santa Cruz. Now, Sergeant Harms, I believe, was Harms, told me that he doesn't think that happens because he thinks that there's no procedure for returning people to Santa Cruz for misdemeanors of that kind. There are procedures for returning people to other areas in the state for those kinds of misdemeanors. I'm surprised if that's not the case for Santa Cruz. It might not be. But in any case, this was all... an interesting story is on Indy Bay. Essentially a very crappy story by Jennifer Squires on the front page of the Santa Cruz Sentinel, not on Indy Bay, sorry. But I have written a response to it, which you can read on The Kernelist, you know, like the journalist, but it's a Kernel, C-O-U-R-N-A-L-I-S-T. That's a website that publishes a lot of local stuff, and I believe they're publishing my stuff now there, too. So I encourage you to take a look at that. All of this is leading into my final tape of the day, which has to do with the very officer who is pictured in Jennifer Squires' story, Cops to Get Legal Help with Downtown Offenders. And again, in case I didn't make it clear, the legal help she's talking about is making it illegal to have more than three or more unattended tickets. So that somehow is going to make everybody tromp on down to court and deal with absurd citations that they threw away in the first place, or else go to jail, and that somehow will be a cheaper alternative than a more reasonable process of resolving matters like we heard Drummer Dave resolve them earlier in the show, by talking, by, you know, people getting together and trying to solve things by face-to-face discussions with each other. The idea of bringing in armed guys with guns who are paid, essentially, highly paid security guards for the merchants is not something that inspires confidence, at least in a significant segment of the community. And it's not likely to inspire respect either. It certainly doesn't inspire my respect. And frankly, I try to press that disrespect around because I don't think people should respect those who are regularly violating basic rights of people downtown and doing so with a smile and a kind of the friendly fascist attitude that, come on, come right along, you know, give up your rights, everything's okie dokie. That's not the best way to go in this country nationally. It's not the way to go in Iraq. It's not the way to go as Obama dumps people into Afghanistan and increases the military. It's all wrong, and it needs to be fought. It needs to be fought strongly, clearly, peacefully, articulately, and with great solidarity for each other. Anyway, Officer Forbes is an individual who I want to give him credit. There are actually several Officer Forbeses, brothers Forbes, actually. I think I'm talking about Dan Forbes. I run across him more frequently because he's part of the downtown patrol. Maybe his brother is, too, but I'm pretty sure it's Dan we're talking about. Here's a bit from me chatting with Dan on the sidewalk and some other people regarding some downtown issues.
I'm downtown at Pacific and Elm Street, and we have a lively conversation here between...
Hi, my name's Jonathan.
And...
The friendly Officer Forbes.
Which Officer Forbes, please? Let's clarify.
It's the same one downtown.
Yes, Dan.
Your brother is not downtown
no,
these days.
No, he's in investigations.
At SCPD. And, of course, listening and looking on is...
Ed.
And I've been saying that it's ridiculous, these new downtown ordinances coming up, which expand the forbidden zones where you can't sit down.
Yeah.
The removal of the benches is kind of absurd. But you haven't noticed, you had some other thoughts on it yourself.
No, I think that we should have a place to sit, but I think that, you know, the kids that come through town are just a nuisance. And, like, you know, they come to town, they harass everybody, you know what I mean? They spare change, they try and sell their drugs, you know what I mean? They do all this, and they commit crimes all over town. You know?
And this is not Officer Forbes speaking. This is, I believe, Jonathan, one of the folks that I, denizen of the streets. I think he's not homeless. He's just sort of a young guy who knows, maybe he's a high school or college student.
Breaking into shit, sleeping everywhere, and it's just like, well, I can understand why the ordinances are being put in place, but I'm not necessarily agreeing with them. You know what I mean? Like, because I live here. You know, I go to school here, and I'm trying to make it. I like to come downtown and hang out with a couple of friends, and you know, go get something to eat and be able to sit down and have a cigarette afterwards. You know, that's the only thing I'm looking
at. Just don't sit within 50 feet of a change making machine.
Right,
okay?
Exactly, something like that. Like things like that. That's not a problem. I can move away from a change machine, you know, or a payphone, or the front of a business. But the benches are disappearing. Like, and that's, like, you know.
But Officer Forbes has said, you know, who wants to sit on wretched, dirty, nasty benches? Actually, I don't really find them that way, but maybe you do, Officer. You may have a higher standard.
I didn't. Well, dirty, wretched, that's
well,
the,
you asked what you thought. You indicated you thought the benches were not in ideal condition.
I just asked him if he'd want to sit on them in the condition that they're in.
Yeah.
I didn't mind. I don't mind sitting on them.
I've never noticed a problem with a bench.
Hey, I notice people sitting on the benches all the time. They're benches, you know, they're for sitting. People don't normally think, oh, that's gross, I'm not going to sit there. They're going to be like, oh, just sit down on a bench, have a sit, you know, like old, you know, people coming through town, you know, with their families and their grandparents and stuff. Their grandparents are going to need a place to sit. Old people have to sit down all the time.
They can go into a pay cafe and pay a little money and sit down. What's wrong with you?
Well, now you're discriminating against that. You're saying that those people should have to pay and other people shouldn't.
Well, that isn't that what we're saying? That's the point.
Well, I'm asking you. You're saying that people who can afford to should be required to pay, and the people who can't shouldn't. So I think that you're discriminating a little bit on different people. Right?
What he's saying is, well, since the benches are just disappearing, then they're going to have to go pay somewhere to sit. You know what I mean? They're going to go into like a cafe, Pergolesi's, or the badass coffee.
Or risk a citation for sitting down along here.
Yeah. You know, like leaning on something against the wall on the metro sign, you're going to get a ticket. You're going to get, you know what I mean, messed with. And, you know, you might not even know. Like, I would sit down and have a cigarette with my friend in front of work or something. He's, you know, obviously homeless and spare change. But I sit down and have a cigarette with him. I get, you know, stopped and he gets let go. But I get harassed because I'm sitting down smoking a cigarette on a curb with, you know. And it's like...
Did that happen to you?
Yes, that did. And
how long ago?
4 years ago, something like that.
So you haven't been harassed in the last 4 years now?
Not, because I know not to sit down on a curb. Like, I was just telling some guy who was tying a shoe. I was like, man, you don't want to do that. You might get, you know, a ticket.
Inappropriate behavior, you know, downtown. Go into a cafe and,
well, then there's,
dare
then
I say,
there's,
spend a little money, you know. I mean, come on. The economy needs your help.
Well,
that's what I think these ordinances are saying. That's the problem.
Well, I think it always gets turned into a homeless issue when it's...
Well, it's a moneyless issue, really. Not so much
not
a homeless issue.
A homeless or moneyless issue.
Right.
It's a behavior. No. I'm not right. It's not a homeless issue. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a behavioral issue. And most people are given warnings, so...
Well, they're given warnings, but it's like saying, well... Unless you give up your rights, we're going to take them from you. This is your warning. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, Bush saying, you know, it's like Obama saying, we're going to get rid of Guantanamo. We're going to keep all these other prison camps throughout the world. And we're going to continue a war against an entire nation because of a bunch of criminal behavior that happened in 2001. But anyway, thank you for talking. You've been talking with
Jonathan.
And, of course, Officer Forbus, who's now been lured aside by one of the pests, or the hosts. So this will be played on free radio probably soon. And that's it. It's around 1 o'clock on Saturday, January 24th, 2008.
I don't even see it.
All right, well, I'm downtown in front of New Leaf a few minutes later. It's about 1:20, cloudy Saturday. Talking with
C.J. Stock.
And, C.J., I called you aside because the bench where you and your possessions are often to be found, right next to the World Market Bazaar on, what is that, Walnut Street, I think it is, and where you are frequently there for a relatively long period of time, is about to be the subject of an ordinance that will be coming up at City Council in 4 days, Tuesday, at 7 o'clock in the evening. And that ordinance will essentially, on complaint, allow the police to give 1 hour of warnings to people who are sitting on a bench. What's your analysis of this?
It's a public bench. It's a public bench. I'm not a citizen anymore. I'm what? I'm chopped liver? What? What's the deal here? And I don't agree with it, and it's a goddamn yuppies pushing the homeless around again.
Now, will you be coming to City Council 7 o'clock on Tuesday to speak about this issue, or is this, you feel it's something you...
Yeah, there's nothing I can do about it. They already made the decision. They're just going through the formalities, that's all.
But you can, of course, talk to the community and expose what they're doing.
I have.
I mean, it'll be going out on television at 7 o'clock on Tuesday.
I may make it. Let me check that out.
It's only 2 blocks away from your bench.
Yep, I know.
Now, the claim is that you and quite a... I would say you have, you know, at least 4 or 5 bags and bundles and such.
No,
are,
I only got two.
Only got two?
I got a backpack in the, on my bedding bag. And that's it.
Now, it's... I thought there were more, but, you know, we'll have to examine you the next time we see you over there, assuming we see you there. What about others? Do others often come and sit down there, or are you pretty much alone on your bench?
No, I got people visit me all the time, man. It's neat. It's not like I'm claiming the bench. I'm just there. Anybody can sit there. It's a public bench. You know, it's not like I'm claiming domain or anything like that.
Now, has anybody come up to you and complain that you're spending too much time on the bench? The police tried to encourage you to move along from your bench.
And we're going to have to leave C.J. Stock and the bench talk. I'm going to bench the bench talk until Sunday, when I'll be coming back at 9:30 in the morning or earlier to regale you with more of this kind of chatter about the downtown ordinances and the police and so forth and all that kind of thing. Give me a call between times if anything comes up that you want to report in terms of untoward behavior, 423-HUFF. There's going to be a cop watch coming up tomorrow at 5 o'clock in front of Borders, in case you want to check that out, 5 o'clock tomorrow on Friday, the 27th. And there's also a human rights organization meeting the next day, Saturday, the 28th, at 3 o'clock at the Sub Rosa Cafe.
Yeah, Robert, I just wanted to remind you and your listeners of a little history.
Okay.
And back around the turn of the last century, 1905 to 1907, somewhere in that period of time, a group of individuals known as the Wobblies, the Industrial Workers of the World, were trying to organize the mines in Colorado. And the city would harass them for speaking on the street corners. So free speech fights. Mm. So they would line up for miles. There would be thousands of these guys. They would hobo into these towns, and they would line up for miles, and a guy would stand up on a soapbox. He'd say, "Workers of the world!"
And
the cops would arrest him and throw him in jail.
I remember.
It
was like it was yesterday. I remember that.
And they would do this all day and night till the jails filled up. And finally, the townspeople got tired of feeding all these people in jail. So I'm not sure that this misdemeanor ordinance is going to do much. Granted that the city of Santa Cruz would probably not pay to have you extradited from New York and transported all the way back to Santa Cruz for a misdemeanor, because the city of Santa Cruz has to pay for that entire journey. They also have to pay the New York City Police Department to arrest you and house you until you can be extradited. So I'm not sure the city of Santa Cruz is going to pay to have a misdemeanor.
You have no confidence in our public officials. That's your trouble, Uncle Dennis. You're a scofflaw. I mean, here you are, free radio. How many years have you been operating an illegal radio station?
I have not operated this radio station. The Free Radio Collective operates the radio station. I've had a radio show for 12 years.
Indeed, so. Indeed. Well, I think you're probably right, although, you know, it's interesting. People do get dumped back into these jails. I don't know who makes those decisions, but you may well be right in terms of the general process. The Wobblies, of course, were eventually beaten out of town. They stopped jailing them. They just started beating the shit out of them and kicking them out of town.
Well, not only that, they used to shoot them.
And shooting them, you know, although, you know, that was not in mass, but actually there was a couple of massacres, I believe. But it doesn't mean we can't keep struggling, and it doesn't mean that we won't win those rights someday.
Well, Robert, you'll be back on Sunday, and invite all your listeners to tune back in then for more Bathrobe Spears Broadside.
That's correct. And Cop Watch with me tomorrow at 5, and we'll check it out together. Thanks again, Dennis, and stay tuned for From the Cream to the Dregs.
was fly, I was fly, I was fly, but even flowers must die. And then a new day comes, and there's a new day's dawn, and there's a new day's sun, and love stays on, sweet love.